In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on page 2, middle of the page, volume 6, 11, 18, 1904. My humanity, which was my heaven, was to make order of the divinity dwelling inside shine forth. That is, the divine virtues, the divine power, the divine grace, the divine wisdom, and the like. So Jesus' holy humanity has to give to us not the human, but the divine. Now, when heaven of my humanity into heaven after my resurrection, my heaven upon earth was to continue to exist, and it is the souls who give a dwelling to my divinity. So where does God dwell? Where is God on earth? Where's Jesus? Yes, he's in the tabernacle, but he's also in us. And just so that you know, complaining is not correcting. A parent can say to the child, "Why are you doing this?" Because the child has to follow the rules and regulations. A teacher can say to a child, "Why are you doing this?" and say, "This is what's necessary, not that." That's not complaining. Complaining is to just let out anger and grief. But correction is necessary, just to make a correction. To correct someone is given to those who have the responsibility of correcting. A parent to the child, a teacher to a student. And that's what we do. We want to make sure that what we think, say, and do is not negative, but it can be for correction. So this is important. With Jesus, he wants to continue to exist on earth in us. He says, the souls who give the dwelling, give a place of dwelling to God's divine divinity. What God is asking of us is to get rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin. And see, that's one of the things, too. A lot of people love to share their misery. People will call you and they'll complain. Well, this is what's happening, and that's what's happening, and that's what's happening. They hang up the phone and they call somebody else, and this is what's going on, and that's what's going on. When you're in the divine will, you say, well, just say fiat, just say fiat, just say fiat. And after a while, they won't call you because they know they can't share their misery with you. Because your solution is correct. Just say fiat, God will take care of it. So God is in charge, God will take care of it. God is saying, I know what you're going to say, but you got to listen to my misery. No, I don't. I don't have to listen to your misery. I've got other things I've got to do. Well, what do you have to do? I've got to listen to Jesus. Talk to me in the divine will. And you got more time to read because they're not going to call you anymore. And that's what's wonderful about this gift. God frees you. I mean, he's purifying us. You know, sometimes, nobody ever listens to that person. Do you know why? They're miserable. And misery loves company. You don't have to be a slave to misery. When somebody complains, I usually say, well, God bless you and have a good life. You know, I mean, if that's what you want, you could either be praising God, glorifying God, worshiping God, or you can be miserable. You know, it's God loves us, and this is what he's saying. He says, I want to exist in the souls who give peace, joy, and happiness, a place to dwell. That's the divinity of Christ, is peaceful, joyful, and happy. And that's what he wants for us. One of the things that's really astonishing is people say to me, those people in the divine world, they're always happy. Don't they know what's going on? Yeah, they know completely what's going on, and they trust Jesus. And you're happy. It's heaven. Jesus is, we're giving a place for Jesus to dwell. Dwelling in them, I, God, form my heaven. That's what God's doing with us in the divine will. And from them also do I make the order of the virtues contained in Jesus shine forth in these souls. What honor for the creature to lend a heaven to her creator. God, we're saying to Jesus, reign in me. Jesus says, where's my peace? Where's my joy? Where's my happiness? It's here, Jesus. Okay, then I will be with you. And then what we're doing is we're giving God a heaven to dwell in. That's the Blessed Mother. She's peaceful. She's the Queen of Peace. God's got such plans for us. Volume 7, 11, 12, 1906. Continuing in my usual state, I was saying to Blessed Jesus, oh, how I wish to love you and to be loved more by you. Now, when we read this, we can't just think, this is what Louisa said. We have to repeat that. Jesus, how I wish to love you more and to be loved more by you. See, this is helping us to be like Louisa. So it's not just to read and go, oh, that was pleasant. It's to enter into this. And Jesus in my interior told me, I love you so much. Do you ever hear Jesus say that to you? You haven't spent enough time with him. I love you so much that I never leave you and I dwell in you continuously. That's the truth. If Jesus left for a second, we would be gone. We would disappear. His love is continuous. His love is he fills us with his love. We have to begin to experience that life of Jesus, that life of Mary. And I thank you for your benignity in dwelling in me, but I am not so content. I would be more content and would feel safer if I could dwell in you. And Jesus says, my daughter, in time, you give me a dwelling to you. You give a dwelling to me. And in eternity, I, God, shall give it to you. So here it is. Again, this is why the more that we read Louisa, the more we begin to understand that in time, see, St. Thomas Aquinas says that if the veil was lifted right now, if the veil of time and space was lifted, we would see that we are in the presence of God in the glorified body, praising God eternally. That's where we are. We're trapped in time and space. Now let's go back to Our Lady of Revelation. Our Lady said to Bruno 72 years ago on April 12th, time has now come to an end. What does that mean? That veil is going to be lifted. And Our Lady says that when that time happens, we're going to be where we are for all eternity. So if you're complaining and being negative and worried and fearful and anxious, that's where you stay when time ends. I remember saying when I heard that a long time ago, I said, well, I have time to make a good act of contrition. No, you won't. Time will end. And then we enter into eternity. There will be no time to say any prayers. You have to understand, Our Lady isn't saying it's the end of the world. This era is over. And that's why if you read Father Scanlon's thing on October 13th, the 101 years, the 101 tears of Our Lady of Akita. Yesterday was the new day, if you want to say. Today is the angel that goes through the Red Sea, that leads the people through the Red Sea. And what happened? The Pharaoh and his army were gone. Somebody went to a bar was the other day, and there was Moses, you know, standing at the Red Sea with a wall. And it's everything is planned by God. A new day is beginning. You have to understand that. And we have to begin to live this new day. This new day. The era of the evil one is coming to an end. That era that Pope Leo the 13th heard in 1884, the devil saying to Jesus. It's the new day is beginning. And we have to leave the old behind to enter into the new. It's a new day. It's a glorious day. I think we're going to see many, many changes happening as time goes on. Because the time of the evil one being in control of even the church is over. It's a new day. It's a day of the divine will. And God is asking us, He's pleading with us to allow this to happen. Jesus says, in time you give me a dwelling on earth, and in eternity I give you a divine dwelling in heaven. And be well content and sure that the one who dwells in you has the divine power to maintain your dwelling fortified and free of any danger. God is going to take care of us. There's nothing to worry about. If Jesus wants us, He says, you're not on this earth one moment longer or one moment shorter than what I, God, have planned. Now, He knows how much we drink, how fast we drive. He knows what we smoke and how much we smoke. And that's all in what He has planned for us, because our free will helps Him plan what we want and what God wants. That's why we use our free will to say, I'm not going to live a miserable human life anymore. I want to live in your divine will, Lord Jesus. God goes, good. And remember, it was over the summer, we read in the calendar, it's so beautiful to do that every day. But in August, Louisa said, my spiritual director stopped reading the divine will and he died. She says to Jesus, if he did not stop reading, would he still be alive? And Jesus said, of course. The divine will is healing. It's healing you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And being here where these miraculous waters are going to bring restoration, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional restoration, take water home. I think we got some bottles in back for everybody who wants to take a little. Give it to those that are sick. Our Lady... And again, don't say, well, I hope this happens. Just say, Our Lady's going to heal you. I don't know how, spiritually, physically, mentally, mostly, but that's what she promises. Greater than Lourdes and Fatima. I mean, what a glorious day to be here on this new day. He says very clearly, I will dwell in you fortified, and you'll be free of any danger. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Him? Then why are you worried? I mean, even if you get a flat tire driving, you say, Lord, you're in charge. You're doing this for a reason. I'd really like to see what you want me to do, how you've got this planned. But when you fret, it just so disappoints Jesus. Volume 8, 7, 26, 19, 08. My daughter, obedience is the ark of my dwelling in the soul. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. We are faithful Catholics. We're obedient Catholics. Obedience is the ark of my dwelling in the soul. Where this ark of obedience is not present, I, God, can say that there is no place for me in that soul, and I am forced to remain outside. That goes back to Humanae Vitae. In 1969, we were given Humanae Vitae, what it means to be human. And the people said, don't tell me what to do. Jesus was speaking to the church, and people in the church said no. So what happens? Zero population in France, Germany, England, Italy, Israel, United States, basically. Jesus says, everything that I produced is a work of God. All of creation is an I love you to man. The only life of God is a child. And the evil one has said, no children. He hates children. Like I said, worldwide there's been a billion abortions. A billion. Jesus says life. He says this so clearly. He says, when there's not obedience to the church, there's no place for me, Jesus, to be in the soul. And I am forced to remain outside. Volume 11, 10, 14. When I, Jesus, heard these hours of the Passion, I hear my own voice. See, when you pray the hours of the Passion, it's Jesus speaking. When you read the volumes, it's Jesus speaking. My own prayers, I hear my own prayers. And in that soul, I, God, see my divine will. That is, wanting the good of everyone and repairing for everyone. And I, God, feel drawn to dwell in that soul, to be able to do what that soul does within herself. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. Jesus, reign in me. Jesus says, thank you. That's why I created you, so that I could live, that I could breathe. He says, no, there's no fear in me. There's no anxiety in me. There's no complaining in me. There's no negativity in me. Jesus says, what's within me, he says, is peace, joy, and happiness. He wants to reign. The human will is miserable. What's your human will? Your human will is what you say in confession every week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is me. I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I hate this life. I don't want to live this life any longer. I want to live your life, Jesus. I want to live your mother's life, Jesus. I want to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, Jesus. So when Jesus says, look at your human will, what do you confess in confession? That's your human will. And Jesus says, I don't want you to live like this anymore. Do you want to continue to live like this? And we say, no. And he says, then come to me. Use your free will to choose to live in my most holy divine will. Stop living in your sin. That's not your life. That's what Jesus is saying to us. So he says, I feel drawn to dwell in that soul, to be able to do what the soul herself does within herself. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus. And that's just so much fun. When you begin to live this, there's no more worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin in your house. Why? Jesus is there. Jesus is looking at those in your family, not you. Jesus is speaking to those in your family, not you. Jesus is listening to those in your family, not you. Your family will be healed because Jesus is there. Mary's there. Your miserable human will isn't there anymore. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, I have a better way for you to live. My life, my mother's life, in you. Volume 11, 3, 2, 19, 16. My daughter, when the soul gives herself completely to me, I establish my dwelling in her. And everything is in my divine will. So we're saying to Jesus, I want you, I give my soul completely to you. I want you, Jesus, to reign in me. Jesus, establish your dwelling in me. At Holy Communion today, pray that prayer. See, the Holy Communion is only for 15 minutes. The divine will is perennial communion with God, where we walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did, as Jesus did, as Mary did. Jesus, I want you to dwell within my soul completely. Establish your dwelling in me, Lord Jesus. Everything is in my divine will. If the soul takes it, she takes the whole substance of my being and encloses this being, Jesus. And she goes on doing good by having the substance of my divine life within herself. And she makes that good come out of my very self. And since it comes out of me, God, it runs like rays of light for the good of all creatures. Everyone in the world is touched by you living in the divine will. Your family is touched by you living in the divine will. Your family can't turn Jesus away. And what will happen in time is everyone begins to live in God's will. They're learning from you how to do it. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Jesus is going to do it. He says it right here. Trust Him. And since it comes out of me, God, it runs like rays of light for the good of everyone, past, present, and future. Volume 12, 11, 20, 19, 17. Courage, do not lose heart. Again, Jesus says this to us. You must be courageous. Don't be afraid. When you're worried, you say to Jesus, I don't think you're good. When you're complaining, you're saying to Jesus, I don't think you're really good at what you do. Because I've got to complain about it. You're not a good God. Because I've got to complain about it. It really insults Jesus. But when you say, Fiat, Lord, you must have a reason for this, and I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. God says, good. Courage, don't lose heart. I, God, shall move forward, and you come into my divine will. Live in my divine will, so that the earth may no longer be your dwelling, but I myself will be your dwelling. Free of earth. What is free of earth? Free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You can begin to live heaven while on earth. And in this way, you shall be completely safe. That's a promise of Jesus. And as you go through the volumes, you hear Jesus' promises continuously. He's always promising you what this life is all about. He says, I will give this to you. Give me that rusty penny, which is your human will, and I will fill you with billions of gold dollars. And we say, but if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. God goes, yeah, that's the whole point. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Are you willing to give that up? Yes, give it to me, but I won't have it anymore. Don't you know I'm a complainer? Father, the people have said that to me. Father, you don't understand. I have to worry about my children. And you don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Then why are you worried? Because they're living this way. They're living away from Jesus. And I love Jesus. And I got to worry about them. No, you're insulting Jesus. No, I'm not. You don't understand. I have to worry about them. I won't give you my rusty penny. They don't want to be free. The children of the divine will have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. What's that freedom? No worry. No fear. No anxiety. No complaints. No negativity. No sin. You say, Jesus, here's my child. I consecrate my child to you. I trust you. You got him. I'm not going to be worried anymore. I know you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. And I know you're going to take care of them. Mary, these are your children. And then what are you? You're peaceful, joyful, and happy. And you're fun to come home to. You're not a miserable... Jesus, this is what he says. And you shall be completely safe. Do you believe Jesus? My divine will has the power to render the soul transparent. And since the soul is transparent, whatever I, God, do is reflected in that soul. If I think, my thought is reflected in her mind. It becomes divine light. Her thoughts, like divine light, is reflected in mine. If I look, if I speak, if I love, etc., like many divine lights that are reflected in her and she in me. We are in continuous reflections, in a perennial communions, communications in reciprocal love, in which I am, he uses his name as God, I am everywhere. And the reflections of these souls reach me in heaven and on earth and in the sacramental host, in the hearts of all creatures. Everywhere and always, I, God, give light, and divine light they give back to me. I give divine love, and divine love they give back to me. They are my terrestrial dwellings in which I, God, take refuge from the disgust of all the other creatures. He says to us, You children of the divine will are my most precious of children. I mean, we love the saints. But the saints did not learn how to live in the divine will as Jesus and Mary lives in the divine will. It was only through Louisa. What Jesus gave to Louisa, Jesus wants to give to us. You are my most precious children, he says. Vine 12, 2, 24, 19, 19, 19. My daughter, you have said nothing about the creation of man, the masterpiece of creative power in whom, not in sprays, but in waves, in rivers, the Eternal One pours his divine love, his divine beauty, his divine majesty, and taken by excessive divine love, he placed himself as the center of Adam. Do you see what God's doing? I breathe into this dust my image and likeness. What comes out of the dust is the image and likeness of God. And Jesus says, I want that with you. I didn't teach this to the saints. They didn't have Louisa. I teach you this because you possess Louisa. And you will possess my life if you let me. This, it's all promises. But he, Jesus says that he, God, wanted a worthy dwelling. So what does the uncreated majesty do? He creates man, Adam, in his image and likeness. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to die to your ego and your will. I want that out of the way so that my image and likeness may reign in you. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. He did not give this to the saints. Father Bucci always says, St. Francis was for his time. St. Teresa was for her time. Louisa is for our time. And when you read the Book of Heaven, when you focus on this every single day, what happens at that point, it's a new beginning. People go, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Don't you know what's happening? It's fiat. God's in charge. You know, it's to live the life of Jesus, to live the life of Mary when they lived in Nazareth, filled with peace, joy, and happiness, knowing Calvary was coming. But then they didn't worry about it. As a matter of fact, what does Jesus say to Louisa? He embraced the cross. He hugged the cross. What do we do with our crosses? Do we drag them behind us complaining? Or do we embrace the cross like Jesus? Are we like Jesus embracing the cross that God has given us? Our cross is our life. A friend of mine, she was in a mental institution for 42 years. And then when she was born, she had cerebral palsy and she was deformed, and her mother got rid of her and they put her in a mental institution, and at those days they didn't know what to do. And when in the 70s they closed all the mental institutions, they let her go. They said, well, she's okay. She let her go. And I was complaining to her once because I thought that was a gift God gave to me, and I was always using it the best of my ability. I was complaining, and she says, now, you know, if you put your cross in a pile, and I put my cross in a pile, and walk away for it for a day, and then go back and pick up any cross, she says, you pick up your cross, because you won't want mine. And she says, I pick up my cross, because I don't want yours. Here's a girl who was in a mental institution for 42 years, and she understood the cross. It's our life. Our cross is ourself. It's what God gave us. It's who we are. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. But God is going to heal us completely of that. That's what he says to Louisa. I believe that. And I do believe this new day is a beginning of what God is going to bring about. But if we're dragging our cross behind us, complaining and negative, How can God heal us? How can God, we don't even understand what this cross is. Jesus loves us very much, and he needs us to cooperate with him. He needs us to say fiat. Jesus says this. He says, as you call my divine will into yourself. This is what we do every morning with our prevening act. Come, divine will. When you're walking, come, divine will, walk in my walking. When you're singing, come, divine will, sing in my singing. When you're dancing, come, divine will, dance in my dancing. As you call my divine will into yourself, this too is a unique act. Therefore, for the decorum of my divine will, which must dwell in you, I, God, must pour so much grace, so much love, as to make you surpass all other saints. Do you believe that? The saints did the will of God. Jesus is calling you to higher than that. It's to live in the will of God. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. We love the saints. Let's look at St. Maximilian Kolbe. Our Lady says, I'm going to give you a crown of martyrdom and a crown of purity. These are virtues. And it's not the full virtue of Jesus and Mary. It's a sliver of the divine virtues of Jesus and Mary. In the divine will, we will become like him. When we see him, Scripture says, we will become like him. That's not after we die. That's what he gave to Louisa. When her body died, this was so amazing. It's all documented. Her blood was circulating through her veins for 4 days. There was no rigor mortis. Her eyes didn't dilate. There was no heartbeat. There was no breathing. But her blood was circulating through her veins. And the doctors didn't know what to do. And when they declared her dead, they said, well, we don't think she's living. We're pretty sure she's gone. That was 4 days later. Father Bucci's sister, Gemma, went up and brought Luisa's body down. Now, Gemma was young, and she brought the body down, and she said to Father Bucci, says, was she heavy? He says, no, like a feather. There was no weight to her. What God is going to show us, and this is the thing that's so amazing, Jesus says, when the world sees you, Luisa, we don't even understand. Do you think Our Lady is veiled? Luisa's veiled too. Jesus said to her, everything that I possess, I give to you. She doesn't possess the resurrection at this point. Everything that I possess, I give to you, Luisa. When we see Luisa, and Jesus talks about this in many places, he says, the world will shake. He says, the world will tremble. And then Jesus says, and then they will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. And then he says, all mankind, all the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists, they're all going to say, I want what she possesses. I want to be a baptized Catholic. That's the first thing God gave her. Why? Baptism, through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with the book of heaven, we enter into God's likeness. And this is what Jesus is teaching us. Faithful, be faithful and obedient to the Holy Catholic Church. How glorious is this? Everyone's going to be Catholic. Jesus says that to Louisa. What he promised at the Last Supper, there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what's coming. Don't give up on the church. It's the universal life that Adam lost. That's what God wants us to repossess again. It's coming. And it's close. It's very close. So Jesus says, since my divine will has supremacy over everything, it is an eternal, listen to this, eternal, immense, infinite, that there is the life of my divine will, what must have its beginning and completion in the soul. which must communicate basically first to Louisa, to endow Louisa, to enrich Louisa with those same divine qualities of my divine will, giving Louisa supremacy over everything. This is where we're going, on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. When this happens, the devil who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. We're the ones that are calling, may your kingdom come on earth, in me, this dust, as the saints possess you in heaven. Do you see what God is doing? Everything's going to change. We are living in extraordinary times. This is, he says this to Louisa. He says, I've waited 6,000 years to give these writings to mankind. He says, if Adam didn't sin, Jesus says, I would have taught him the book of heaven, which means Louisa has more than what Adam possessed. What did Adam possess? Integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. The perennial life. That's what God wants in us. When somebody says to you, well, I'm only human, that's a lie. God is calling us to share in divinity. Do you see what God is doing? How much He loves us. We are His most precious children. Why? We are going to do what Adam couldn't. Why? Because of Louisa. What Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, breathed into Louisa, we now can possess. This isn't about a good and holy and saintly life. This is about sharing in divinity, which the priest puts with a drop of water into the chalice every single day. Sharing in divinity. Begin to live this. Why can you not be filled with peace, joy, and happiness? If you believe this, you will be filled with such peace, such joy, such happiness. There's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. That's what God's waiting for. He says this, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world. Which means what? He hasn't found anybody yet. He's waiting for us to begin to live this. He's waiting for us to do this. This is what Jesus is saying. And listen to what he says. What I, Jesus, say to you, he says, shall serve me, God. It is necessary to the sanctity and dignity of my most holy divine will. I, God, do not lower myself to dwelling where there is, I do not find the things that belong to God. You shall be nothing other than the depository of the good so great of which must be jealous and keeping. He says he wants us, this is why you read. Jesus says, this book is so important that as you read every day you read, I expand your capacity to receive more. Of what? Of the divine qualities. Nobody lives this fully yet. But he says, when I find it, I'm going to give it to you. But he hasn't found anybody yet. Nobody has made the divine will their everything yet. Why? They're filled with worries, fears, anxieties, complaints, and negativities, and sin. He's waiting for us to do this. He really is. This is a great and glorious time. Volume 13, 6-12, 1921. I would pass over everything. I would continue to wander without stopping to find what? God's life. Jesus' life. And where shall I find this life, my life, Jesus' life? I find it in Louisa, the soul who lives in my divine will. This is why I do not want you either sky or sun or flowery earth, but I want you, Louisa, to be the center of my most holy divine will, where I, God, find my life, and I shall stop and dwell forever. In you, Louisa, and of the souls linked to Louisa. Only then shall I be content. I shall rest. I shall not take my work as in creation, but in my own life. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, really, I want to see my likeness in you. He says, that's why I'm giving you this great gift of the divine will. My daughter, it is right, after I carried you in my interior for my whole life, it is your duty to carry me, Jesus, in your interior for your whole life. Jesus has already done the same thing for us. He has carried us in his interior his whole life. You have to understand, Jesus did this. You were with God from the beginning. And now it is your duty, Jesus says, to carry me in your interior for your whole life. Your intellect, your memory, your will has to be Jesus. See, Our Lady's eyes are closed up here. She's seeing with the eyes of God. That's what she wants to do with us. She wants us to begin to learn from her, to see with Jesus' understanding. It's not to see from a human perspective anymore. That's so limited. He wants us to see, Our Lady wants us to see, Jesus wants us to see from a divine perspective. Jesus says, and if I placed you in my interior, it was ordered to perfume your soul and extend in you a new heaven so as to render it a worthy dwelling for Jesus, for my person. See, in each and every one of us, God wants a new heaven to dwell in. A new heaven. Peaceful, joyful, happy. That's heaven. More so, since having to establish in you the center of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta, it was necessary that I, God, live in you, that the divine will live in you to serve you as soul and body. Now it's the same thing for us. If we are linked to Luisa, it's necessary that the divine will live in us to serve us as the soul of our body. Not misery anymore. My divine will could never descend into a soul in a singular way outside of the ordinary if she did not have her distinct prerogatives. Just as with my beloved Mama Mary. See, we're to have the true life of Mary and Jesus reigning in us. I, God, the eternal Word, could not have descended had Our Lady not had her distinct prerogatives and the divine breath had not breathed into the Blessed Mother as into a new creation to the point of rendering the Blessed Mother admirable to everyone and superior to all created things. Now, the same for you, in you, Luisa. First, my holy humanity wanted to have a stable dwelling in you, Luisa, in order to prepare you, Luisa, and then like soul to the body in giving you, Luisa, the life of my divine will. See, God needs to give this to a human. The mother of God is Theotokos. She possessed God. She's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. Adam was a human. Adam was not the Son of God. Adam wasn't the mother of God. But it took the Son of God and the mother of God to come to earth to redeem fallen humanity. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. And now, 2,000 years later, they have a newborn. They have a firstborn, a human who possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. And Jesus and Mary want us to possess this gift that was breathed into Luisa. But you can't have it without Luisa. It's her gift. Jesus says in volume, this is very important. You have to understand this. In volume 17, May 4th, 1925, the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. And of the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Luisa, and the soul is linked to Luisa. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit in us, and you will transform us. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. It's God that's doing this. And God has planned for us to live at this time. We are His most precious children. Read, study, put this into practice. Learn what Jesus wants to tell you. Listen to His promises every day. Jesus says, volume 13, 12:3, 19:21, I had my royal palace prepared, which is the Holy Catholic Church. The soldiers have been the saints to make me known to the peoples. And then came the saints who sowed miracles, the most intimate ministers, my most intimate ministers. And now, Jesus says, I come to reign as king. Do you believe this? We are at that point. Therefore, I had to choose a soul in whom to make my first dwelling to found this kingdom of my divine will. And again, that is Luisa Picaretta. In a soul to whom to make my first dwelling to found this kingdom, so let me reign and give me full freedom. That's Luisa. And that's Jesus speaking to us through Luisa. So we'll end there and we'll have Mass in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.